I'll do it over the audio. Go ahead.
We're live.
We're live?
We're live. But like, is
you
it...
know what I forgot to do? I didn't check in with Bright Kite again.
Mark.
What's the name of where we are?
Mark,
the pizza and Yukika.
You've always had this issue.
I know.
You've only checked in, I think, once successfully since you started using Bright Kite, and that was at Pete's Coffee off of
I check in every day. I just forget sometimes.
Really?
Yeah. They have a web interface I can use now. They have a mobile web interface, so I can actually use it now. But anyway.
Okay.
So,
buttons on your coat.
What are you talking about?
Greetings, everybody. This is Wes.
This is Mark Bernay.
And we are...
I forgot to say I'm world famous.
Yeah, you are world famous.
Yeah.
Mark is world famous. We represent the WNO, which is the What's New Is Old show, where...
blogspot.com.
Yeah, that's whatsnewisold.blogspot.com.
And if you're really lucky...
Domain.
I know. And if you're really lucky... Yeah, because Blogspot will let you use your own domain for free. Some places charge you extra to do that.
Really?
But Blogspot lets
you can't
you
just
for
point
free.
To it from the...
No, no, not... Well, you can, but then it'll read... No, you can, but there's consequences. Whereas Blogspot lets you do it correctly. It'll actually properly support your own domain for free.
For free. That's
yeah.
Very cool. So, if you're going to get a GoDaddy account, use our GoDaddy code, our discount code of... there is none.
I know. No, it's pretty cheap anyway, but T-Soft Mike says that GoDaddy is horrible and you shouldn't use them.
Yeah.
But anyway...
I use Joker.com,
I used to use that. I used to use that.
Yeah. Why do you no longer use that, Mark?
I forget. I think GoDaddy was cheaper and it was in America and stuff. It just seemed like it might be better somehow.
Well, that's not important.
But Joker's still fine, yeah.
It's not important. What's really important right now is what the WNO show represents. We never finished.
Yeah, we have dinner and we talk. Oh, about technology items. And if we can, we try to relate new technology items to old technology.
That's true.
Sometimes we do that right, sometimes we don't.
That's true.
And we always forget the exact URLs for things.
Right.
So we tell you to look at the website. And the audio show might get posted a day or two before all the URLs are in there.
Yeah.
So if you find something really fascinating in the audio,
right,
and there's no URL, try a couple of days later. Or leave a friggin' comment.
Yeah.
Leave a comment. No one ever leaves his comment.
Well, nobody ever like goes to the site because of the URL is so long.
I know.
But anyway. And
so how do you spell pizza?
So we have videos.
How do you spell pizza and tikka?
It's P-I-Z-Z-A.
Right. Marvelina did not know how to spell pizza.
Really?
He thought it was P-I-T-S-A or something.
What?
Just last night.
What?
We were having this sparring argument.
Okay.
And she would not believe me. I told her how to spell it. She just would not believe me.
So it's A-N-T-I-C-A.
Yeah,
and I've had links in the show notes to the Pizza Antica website. Believe it or not, they have a pretty rich website.
Yeah.
They're like located in four different places around the Bay Area.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
thank you.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Awesome.
Did you get any fresh honey pepper?
Yeah, please.
Another
one, okay, hold on, I have to check it. So we're 3600 Mount Diablo Boulevard.
Yeah, okay. Sure. Whatever that said.
See, I never have problems with it with a small interface. It was just the SMS interface that was really kind of horrible.
Huh.
But it works okay with this one.
Okay.
So I got soup with a bunch of stuff in it.
Did you order the soup specifically, or did they just give it to you?
Brothers
Restaurant.
I'm paying big money for this.
Oh, really?
It's like $5.95.
Really? Is that your dinner?
No. I ordered a dinner.
Oh, okay. I was going to say. Yeah, because at Brothers Restaurant, the soup is...
On the house!
Yes, it is.
Something we have.
Absolutely, it's on the house. That was well done.
But you don't, but you don't know that.
No, until he comes
just
up behind you
with
a fervor and a lot of energy over your shoulder says... On the house. He didn't even give you a
house.
He just yelled.
But you have to pretend it's not. If you ask them about the soup, they'll deny it, but they won't tell you. It's like a gift. You have to accept it as a gift. You know.
No. Okay, so should we go to stories?
Yeah.
So, okay, before we get to stories, I just want to say... I try to watch the market, the economy, just to be able to predict what's going on, what's going to happen in the future. I have to say the tech industry is still remaining relatively strong compared to the economy. So we still see an interesting number of stories coming out every week, even though certain people feel like the market will drop off, and it does seem to continue to be going down, which is bothersome.
Okay.
looking at NASDAQ, it just keeps
really
going downhill. Yeah. Anyway,
I can give my theory about the stock market. Anyway.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, this really isn't about tech things or anything like that. It's just, when you buy stock,
mm-hmm.
you get a piece of paper with the name of the company on it.
Okay.
And in theory, you own a share of some small fraction of the company.
Right.
But in the past, what was supposed to happen is that the company, when they made a profit, they would distribute their profit as dividends to all the shareholders.
Right.
Right. So if you own the 1,000th of the company, you'd get 1,000th of their profit.
Okay.
So a stock would have some real value based on the fact that if you own the stock, you'll be getting money every year. So you try to predict what the profits the company will paying you, mm-hmm. and you choose some price for the stock that's appropriate for getting that money in the future.
Okay.
And stuff like that. Okay, well, modern-day companies don't pay dividends. It's very rare for a company to actually pay dividends nowadays. So the company might be making lots of profit, but they keep it, they put it in research on new products or whatever. The point is, they don't distribute it to you.
Mm.
They probably never will distribute it to you.
Okay.
So therefore, you have a sheet of paper that shows you own a fraction of the company, but what can you do, though? They don't distribute any profit. If the company were to sell to another company, then you'd get something.
Okay.
There is some chance there. If the company actually sells, you will get shares of the new company, which are, again, just a sheet of paper, but you might actually get cash
okay.
or something.
Okay.
And you have voting rights, but if you're very small, your voting right doesn't really mean anything.
You mean the number of shares that you...
Yeah, you might be able to vote on the board of directors or vote on propositions in the corporation, but if you're very small, that's meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
Because they never get such close votes that your little 1,000 shares are going to make any difference.
Okay.
And then some companies like Google have two-tiered shares where some people's votes count a lot more than other people's votes. Like at Google, the
really?
Original founders...
I didn't know this.
Yeah, the original founders of Google... I can post an article by Mark Andreessen about all this stuff.
Okay.
But the original founders of Google have enough share... They don't have enough shares, but they have enough voting power... Because their shares are worth a lot more votes than regular shares, that they can override anything that anyone else does.
How does yeah. that work?
They just do it. You know, just declare the best way. When people buy the stock, they know that's the rules. That's the way it is.
So how do you specify that you want more power?
When you're the founder of the corporation, you're the one setting the rules of the initial stock. You do whatever you want.
Well, thanks.
So basically, that's how they do it. And everyone buying those shares are supposed to read the fine print and know that they're buying shares with really extremely limited voting power. It'll be extremely limited anyway because you're just such a tiny fraction. So anyway, so you own this sheet of paper that really has no value whatsoever because your fraction of the company doesn't do you any good. It's all rigged in such a way that your theoretical ownership of this fraction doesn't help you any whatsoever,
mm-hmm.
unless the company sells more than the company, maybe.
Okay. And then you, yeah.
So... why would you ever buy the sheet of paper? Strictly because you hope that some fool will come along in the future and buy it from you at a higher price. There's really no reason other than that to buy this.
Or you could sell it so the value goes up.
Yeah, but why would the value go up? It's a sheet of paper that has no meaning. It's not good for anything.
It's a placeholder. That's how I see it. It's sort of like a... It's sort of like a... It's
a snapshot
in time that says, look, if it goes up from here, whatever it goes up, I'm going to profit from when I sell it.
But what is it? It's just a sheet of paper with the name of the company on it. It doesn't have any... It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't pay a dividend like it once did.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like the popularity is what you're selling. In other words, like if you become if the stock becomes more popular in the future and more and more people want to have a part of that, buy it.
But why would they when they don't get anything? They have no power of the corporation. They don't get any money. They don't get any share of the profits. Why would they want the sheet of paper that has the name of the company on it, no matter how popular it gets?
I see.
What's the point? That's why I'm always worried about the stock market because people are going to figure that out one of these days. That the pieces of paper don't mean anything anyway. They have nothing to do with how much well the company does or anything.
Profit is profit. It's more money, right? So,
but you don't get it.
But you will when you sell, and that's what I think attracts people to stocks.
No, but the person who's buying it from you, when you sell it, you get a price based on someone buying it from you. Why would they be willing to pay a higher price for a sheet of paper when nothing has changed? They still don't get any dividends. It's still just a sheet of paper. It still has no voting value. why would they want to pay you more just because this company over there makes more? The company has absolutely nothing to do with the sheet of paper, and yet I know it works that way, but there's no reason for it. So the whole thing could just collapse one day.
It's just an investment. They're not kicking out any kind
of... It's investing in sheet of paper. If you buy a house, you have something real. You can live in it.
Right.
You can rent it out. You actually have a real thing.
Yeah.
But a stock, you have a sheet of paper that once represented future dividends, but it doesn't anymore. Once it represents the power, but it doesn't anymore. So it's a sheet of paper with the name of the company printed on it.
Yes.
Why should someone pay you more for it later? It just isn't associated with the company in any meaningful way.
Yeah.
Other than it has their name printed on it. So I always wanted to come out
with... People lost millions of dollars in the drop-off as well, just because of that. It was all on paper.
I know. But I want to come up with like corporate trading cards or something and sell those instead that really aren't tied to the corporation at all, but it doesn't matter because stock certificates aren't either.
Right.
That's my point.
Nice. So one of my stories here is that Associated Press cites unidentified sources in reporting that the U.S. officials are looking into allegations that Chinese officials copied data from a Commerce Department laptop and used it to attack U.S. computers.
Okay. Did they have physical access to it? Because someone left it. They broke into the guy's hotel room or something? Or how did
they don't say.
How did they get out of it?
They don't say. It's really brief. I suppose I could look at the actual article itself in detail. Oh, CNET. This is a CNET news item.
Okay.
It's alleged to have happened during Commerce Secretary Carlos M. Gutierrez's trip to Beijing in December. But
that's fairly common. If he just leaves it somewhere, any country's spy agencies would do that.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
On that topic, I just recently had to go back to an old machine that I had sitting in my storage room, and it had some documents on it that I had written many years ago, back in 2005.
Okay.
And the need for me to go access one of those documents came up, and I went to go actually use that machine and discovered there was a Windows login password that I had totally forgotten and could no longer access that machine.
Okay.
So I'm still in the state where it's asking me for the password, and I can't get into that machine.
Right. I can tell you a couple of things about that. First of all, the way Windows stores its passwords, I think this is true, including up to XP, maybe even Vista, that Windows stores its passwords as two separate fields, each one of which is shorter and can be cracked independently.
Okay.
Because usually a password would be something printable. I mean, you kind of, if you crack it, you can usually tell that you cracked it because it'll be some human readable thing in some way, shape, or form.
Okay.
It wouldn't just be random control characters or anything. So because Windows stores it as two separate shorter passwords, each of them can be cracked independently because you'll find something that, some combination of that suddenly makes sense for that half.
Okay.
Then you have to crack the other half, but the first half might give you a clue. You actually may get some clue about what the other half might be or something.
Okay.
So anyway, so there are things to crack Windows that can do it fairly successfully for the average password because of breaking it into the halves and do the separate halves separately.
Okay.
And then the good ones will use this concept called rainbow tables.
What?
Rainbow tables.
Like the coalition?
I forget why it's called that. I forget why it's called rainbow. But because part of the problem of decrypting things is you have to just try a bunch of possibilities, right? So rainbow tables are other people have already tried them. Like people will have a machine going for a year building kind of reverse engineering passwords. So say, if the password is this, this is how Windows will store it.
This is
how Windows will store it.
Okay.
So people have databases of all these ways that Windows will store different passwords. So the rainbow tables don't include everything because it would just be way too big. But I forget now if you can buy them or download them or how you can do it yourself. But people who have worked for years to build these have these huge databases of millions and millions of the most common passwords people might use.
Okay.
So all you have to do is look at the encrypted password, and your first attempt is just look it up in a rainbow table and see if anyone's already decrypted this one before.
Okay.
But only each half separately. So there's a good chance that you'll find it that way and be able to crack it instantly.
Okay.
And otherwise, then they have to start doing all kinds of other stuff, but at least they can do these half.
So.
And then there's also software.
Right.
That the one I have is Linux-based, but there's also software you burn onto a CD and boot from it, and it brings it up in Linux or some non-Windows operating system that ignores the password and just lets you look at the disk files directly.
Okay.
And you just overwrite the... You would just overwrite the area of the disk where Windows stores the password.
Okay.
Then there's just no password anymore.
Well, that's the direction that I'm taking. After a lot of research, I found that people were saying boot up into safe mode, go in as the administrator, see if you can get access to the files that way as the administrator, but of course you have to know the administrator password.
Right.
And then I ran across this one software program. It's an actual executable. Well, what it is, it's a selection of tools that somebody wrote called DreamPack.
Okay.
I put a link into the notes.
Okay.
But basically, the idea is that you create a boot disk using the Windows Startup CD, and as a part of that, you include these files.
Okay.
And when you burn the boot up CD, these files should be a part of that CD as well. And then booting up into on the CD will allow you to use these tools to go in and actually discover the passwords for all of the accounts within your Windows XP machine.
I see. Yeah, the one I have, the one I've used a couple of times is in Linux.
Mm-hmm.
And all it does is let you change it. It doesn't let you see what it already is.
There was another one that let you reset the password for any of the accounts. But the problem with that was, number one, you'd lose whatever the password was to the original account.
Right.
And any encrypted files that were set in that particular account with that password would no longer be accessible.
I see. Okay.
That was the
Although
downside.
That would depend on what encryption method was used or what product was used.
Well, they said this was standard XP's SSL. So I thought that was kind of interesting. So we'll see what happens with DreamPack. Of course, I have to make the bootable CD. I have not done anything yet, but I just can't come up with a password. Kicking my butt.
I just can't remember. No, but at the time, was just something common?
Well,
was something you commonly
I usually based on the time, based on the month or what have you. I have a password at work that I use there, and then when that expires, I have to change it. So it proliferates throughout all of my different systems.
Okay.
The problem with this is that with this is that too much time has passed. So it's not even if it is a little bit old, I've totally forgotten what it is by now.
Yeah. Okay.
And I tried going back as far as I could.
I could try the Randy technique. We talked about it on the air, I think, that...
You can bring up something about...
Well, that's a different story, though, but let me just... But the Randy technique was, I was with him once at an ATM, and suddenly he couldn't remember his ATM password, and I just started screaming at him that, look, we're wasting time. We're sitting here screwing around. Uh-huh. Just figure out the password. You need to get it. Go, figure out your password. What's your password? Now.
Yeah.
And suddenly it came to him, so... We could try that technique. Okay, just start yelling at you. But you don't have the machine in front of you, though, to try that.
And also, that would probably work the opposite, the complete opposite. I'd probably freeze up and probably wet myself. I don't know.
Yeah. But in the middle of all that, you'll suddenly remember the password. You could waterboard you.
I think so.
This has dairy pollution on it.
Dairy pollution?
Yeah. That's... And, the other totally different thing I was going to... comment is I knew someone who worked in a company in Orinda, California.
Okay.
And they were having...
That wasn't Lafayette, California? That was Orinda, California?
It was Orinda, California, yeah.
Okay.
And they were...
Did they realize how important it was that they were working in Orinda, California? Did they ever realize the true extent of the popularity that it would become because of the WNO show?
No.
No. Were they proud to be in Orinda, California?
They certainly were.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. You may continue.
So anyway, so they once had a vendor coming over to show them some software, and just for security, the vendor installed from a floppy disk. The software to show them, and then very carefully removed all traces of it afterwards and took out his floppy and removed all traces.
Okay.
But in the meantime, the company people, knowing that the vendor would install it that way, made a modification in the operating system so that any floppy disk reads would get copied, that the operating system would make a separate copy of anything read off the floppy disk to the hard drive. So when the salesman left, they were able to continue running the software without paying for it. So.
It's horrible.
I know.
That's almost like the Bush campaign.
That's similar. No, I'm just that's from that Chinese effort to copy it. I mean, there's various ways that you'd want to and be able to copy things off a hard drive if you want to.
Wow.
That's something that was pretty impressive. Although I just saw a video of it, it's hard to say if it is impressive in person.
Uh-huh.
But Cisco and another vendor are working on telepresence, you know, trying to set up virtual meetings over the internet.
Everything's good?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Yeah, excuse me, I can't find the URLs.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So he says, sir, we have Wi-Fi. You can get online. I see you have a laptop there.
Right. So anyway, it's an effort by Cisco and other companies to set up virtual meetings that seem real enough that it doesn't really bother you. That you, not as video conferencing, but so real that it doesn't bother you that much and you wouldn't really have to fly places.
Oh, wow. So it's like no latency, no screen issues.
Right. No, but much better than that. So they did a demonstration in Bangalore where Cisco had one guy on the stage live and two people telepresence from San Jose that all look exactly the same. I'm showing what's the picture. There's
wow.
a video. There's a video of this.
Full body.
Yeah, full body. Just walking. They can walk. Both of them can walk around.
Really?
Stuff like that.
Wow.
And the only difference is just looking at the
is
video
on
the
screen? Is it a screen that they're
kind of? Well, kind of, but it's a like a. It's a very thin film kind of a screen. That there's another article that explains the technology behind it. So there's a, it's really Cisco working with, Cisco only does the networking and the video conferencing part of it.
Okay.
And then there's this other company that makes virtual things like this for use in theaters, where they have these totally invisible screens in the middle of a stage. You can project an image on, and it just looks very real to the audience. So they teamed up with that company to make these virtual people on that projector. And from the video's point of view, they really all look exactly the same, except the virtual people are slightly less colored.
Okay.
They're not quite as real looking, but they're not bad. They're not bad at all.
Still pretty
and they're
impressive.
Sitting there talking back and forth to each other and all that.
That's awesome.
And yes, we'll have a link to that and to how the technology works and everything.
Very cool.
And I guess we're supposed to be old as new. I think what people used to do is they would walk up near each other and have a meeting and actually talk to each other.
Really?
Yeah. It's amazing.
They used to fly from one area to another.
Used to take ships. Used to ride horses.
Really?
Yeah.
Get in a carriage?
Mm-hmm. If you're lucky, yeah.
Well, didn't you send out some information a while back about how there were communication paths from castle to castle that people would use
to... semaphore signals, yeah.
Yes, to do like a form of, not SOS, but...
telegraph, just early telegraph.
Well, but with flashing lights and...
No, telegraph arms. It's more efficient than Morse code in a way. The Morse code is kind of serial.
Mm-hmm.
This is more parallel. You have these two arms that you set to all different positions and stuff. They've got a little bit more data per movement of the arms than you would in Morse code.
Well, this is back in the medieval times.
Yes.
And how messages could be transmitted fairly efficiently from castle to castle.
Yeah, it's got to be line of sight. It was like before telescopes, probably, so you had to have pretty good eyes and stuff. But
One receiving point could turn around in the opposite direction and send a message to the other point.
Right.
And therefore, information could travel fairly fast.
Right.
So that's something I didn't know existed back then, back in the medieval days.
Yeah, I just found that article once.
Yeah.
So anyway, so this telepresence thing looks quite good. It's not three-dimensional, I mean, but from the audience point of view, they're far enough away. They wouldn't know the difference.
Do you know, on the same topic, do you know of any new technology that's being created that actually allows for three-dimensional images to be shown? Like a...
Yeah.
Like monitors?
Without glasses?
Yeah, without... But actually, like, three-dimensional physical objects. I've heard that there's some...
Yeah, there's
some
several
actual,
of them. Go see Iron Man and you'll see one.
Well, that's a movie.
Oh. What?
That's fake. That's bullshit, bullshit.
This virtual arm, and he puts his hand through it, and right in the middle of it.
Complete crap.
What?
Crap.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Shit.
Anyway. So, yes.
No, there is actually some kind of advantage.
I've never seen one. I've never seen any of them, but... And you're talking about ones that don't need glasses, because with glasses, it's easy.
Yeah.
That's been done for 50 years.
No, some kind of projector technology has been recently... I'm not very well aware of this other than
I don't think they're projectors, because projectors I think still need to wear glasses and stuff. But there are CRT screens or flat panel screens that could do 3D, but I don't know how exactly. but they're supposed to be able to do 3D without glasses.
Okay.
And the trick is that somehow your two eyes have to see something different. So they're just some kind of micro lenses or something in front of the screen that make it possible to project two different images in different directions. Yeah.
I'll have to see if I can find out.
It may well be, the old-fashioned thing where you can buy postcards or you can get pictures that have a bunch of vertical lines on them, and as you move the postcard around, the picture changes. Mm-hmm. Or there are 3D versions of those. There's ones that use the two different pictures for 3D. Well, it might just be that. It might just be a monitor that has those vertical, those thin vertical lenses on them.
And there's literally two different images that are being broadcast at the same time, and depending on what angle you're looking at it at.
Yeah, maybe that. It always has to be that. It always has to be different images depending on how you're looking at it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're just doing some variation of those vertical lenses, probably.
We'll see what I can find on that.
Yeah. And then there are ones using spinning stuff where you have a cube and the middle, and you don't let anyone touch it because there's this big spinning thing inside. That spinning thing is really a two-dimensional display, but as it spins, it keeps changing the picture constantly as it spins to form a three-dimensional picture. So if it spins fast enough and the LEDs are bright enough and all that, you kind of end up with looking like a physical object in it. I don't think there's any holograms that can be done on the fly yet. That could be coming, I don't know. Well, if someone knows anything about this, can leave us a comment.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to reach out and grab objects and move them around in space.
I know. Yeah, that'll happen. If you see it in the movies, it'll probably happen eventually.
The next one is... we're getting closer and closer to actually seeing true live products come out using the Android operating system for cell phones that Google has been funding and producing.
I'm hoping it'll be great because Andy Rubin, the developer of the Sidekick, is the head of that project.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm hoping it'll be great, but it's hard to say. I haven't seen enough about it there.
I've heard positive reviews about the API or the SDK for the Android operating system when compared to the Apple iTouch or iPhone SDK, saying that it's actually better in some ways.
Okay. Well, because Android phones can have a real keyboard if you want.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really dependent on the hardware that much, so if you have a real keyboard. Or the intriguing thing I saw today is that someone commented they don't even have to have a screen, which means it must have a talking interface into it. I wonder if it has a talking interface that blind people could use it. It might be a good accessible cell phone with a lot of features.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
That's very, very cool.
I'm not saying it does, but I just saw that comment that doesn't need to be a screen.
Well, one thing that attracts me to it is that it's open source, according to what I've read. It's not platform specific. You can actually use this for multiple different devices.
Yes.
Whereas the Apple's iPhone is going to be very specific and only used with Apple's products. So.
Right. Also, supposedly Android will run under other operating systems. If you have a phone that can run Java applets or something, you can get Android to run on that.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So on June 9th, the rumors are still all playing. If I say 9, it sounds too much like 5. It might get people confused. Niner and Fife.
Niner and Fife?
Niner.
If.
Well, niner that's if you need to add the if. You know.
I'm confused.
But you say Niner or Fife to make it very clear which digits you're saying.
Okay.
Yeah. What happened? Well, if it was Niner-ith and Fifth-ith or something. I'm not sure what that is.
Five fifth.
Anyway, why were we saying this?
Yeah, where were you going with this?
I forgot.
Mark?
Why was they saying 9th?
On June 9th.
On June 9th. Oh, that's right. The rumors are still strong that that will be the new iPhone release date. So, I don't know. I have to decide whether to get one or not.
Well, if I were Mark Burnet, the The only thing that would push me over the edge is whether or not the battery life was, one, either really, really long and impressively strong, or two, removable.
Yes.
Anything outside of that would cause me not to buy it at all, period.
The rumors are it will definitely not be removable. Unless Apple has some new battery technology, it will not be long enough. So, but they'll say it is. They will say it's better. Yeah, so my other choice is that there will be other Windows mobile phones coming out this year. They have much higher resolution screens than mine has, but still have a keyboard.
Okay.
So I'll probably switch over to one of those at some point. Meanwhile, I've never mentioned it on here before. There's a huge industry going on, but just all free, just all volunteer and free.
Yeah.
People hacking Windows mobile versions out of newer phones and getting them to work on older phones where the vendor and the cell phone carrier will never, ever, ever release a new version anymore, but you can get the new version through these hack things.
Like HP?
But the biggest mobile Windows mobile manufacturer, especially phones with keyboards, is HTC, and there's hacks for all of those.
Okay.
How to install newer versions on them.
Huh.
So I have a hacked version of mine right now, but I might need to switch to a newer one one of these days.
To a newer one or a real one?
Yeah, there will never be a newer one, a real one for mine.
Okay.
But there are lots of hacked ones for mine, so I need to switch to a newer hacked one.
Oh, the one I've got.
Yeah, I have one that's basically Windows Mobile 5, but just a little bit more advanced. And there's ones nowadays for Windows Mobile 6.1, those hacked versions. I keep meaning to build a ending page, but I never get around doing anything with it.
Huh.
I own freakspace.com. A place for freaks. But, you know. I built the Ning thing from it, but I never really finished it or never put that URL. Ning charges extra if you want to have your own URL.
Okay.
So I'm certainly not paying for it yet or anything like that. I was thinking today, I should change the logo of it to Freak Space, a space for freaks. Duh! Anyway, what do you think
funny.
It was?
That's funny. A space for freaks.
Yeah. No, because in my phonetrips.com webpage, if you go to the Evan Doorbell section and the Dom Tuffy, D-O-M-T-U-F-F-Y series of recordings, in one of these, there's this guy who keeps saying, duh, what do you think it was?
Right, Dom.
Right,
Dom.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
Or does he say what do you think I was, or I don't know. I'm a switchman. Duh, what do you think I was? Something like that.
Wasn't that his assistant?
Yeah. Dom's assistant.
Yeah.
No, I think that was a switchman. He went over to visit the central office and there's a switchman there. Anyway. It's a long story, but you really should listen to those recordings.
The Adventures of Dom Tuffy?
Yes.
Yes.
And it's based on a real telephone company special agent, you know, which are telephone company special agents like their internal security force, their ex-FBI agents, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
They work from. You know, they had one called Tom Duffy.
Mm-hmm.
So Evan Doorbell was once visited by Tom Duffy, and he made up this character called Dom Tuffy to act like Tom Duffy. And on the webpage is also an interview where Evan Doorbell actually talks to little Tom Duffy and recorded it, and it's on there. And stuff.
Did you let him know, or was it totally secret?
I don't think so. No, totally secret.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That
Tom Duffy has died. Cause I know someone.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, cause I know someone who's preparing. Wants to write a book on the history of phone freaks.
Uh-huh.
But usually books like that just kind of read the Esquire article and just do a little bit of research, but not very much, and just kind of copy the Esquire article. But this guy's going back and re-interviewing everyone totally from scratch to find out what really happened and stuff. So he tried to interview Tom Duffy, but found that he had died.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
It's good to know that we can talk all kinds of mess about him now that he's passed away.
Yes.
But
Evan Doorbell likes him nowadays. Now that Evan Doorbell grew up and doesn't feel that it's morally correct to make free phone calls anymore, so he likes Tom Duffy now.
It was never morally correct to make free phone calls.
It's a phone thing.
That's not what you guys were doing.
It's a phone thing.
It's not what you guys were doing. You were making free phone calls.
No, it's a phone thing. Our morality was, as long as it's a phone thing, you can do whatever you want.
Okay.
And therefore, we then tried to fit everything else into being a phone thing. Like, you want to rob someone? Well, he's probably carrying a cell phone, so and you're carrying a cell phone, so if you rob him, that's kind of a phone thing, and he's probably going to call his phone
so
and dial 911
okay.
later and stuff, so it's kind of a phone thing, you know? Yeah, so
that
it's okay. Yeah, see?
I like that. Well, how can I work that into my life?
I don't know. Just to think about it. You'll come up with
it. I probably will.
Yeah. So, if people are aware of technology news and stuff like that, you probably realize that for a long time there's been turntables, no record turntables,
right?
But have a USB cable on them,
right?
So instead of having like RCA plugs or something to get the audio out of them,
uh-huh.
they have essentially a built-in USB sound card, so that the sound of the turntable comes out in USB format, already digitized.
Okay.
And those have been out for a long time. There's many different models, and there's people have cassette decks like that, where the cassette deck
right.
has a USB interface built in.
Yeah.
Well, now someone has a VCR deck that has USB, so it transmits the video and the audio over USB into a computer to make it easier to get rid of your old VHS
wow.
collection that turned into the files on your hard drive.
This is one of those things where you could have like slapped yourself because you could have thought about this next thing and invented
right.
it before this other company did.
But if you had thought about it, would you actually go out and spend the money to do it?
Isn't there like a fun
there
thing?
There may not be that many that'll get sold, you know, it's hard to say.
Well, it's definitely a consumer thing, right? It's a home
right.
consumer thing, because everybody, the only people that would actually want this are the very rare people who
yeah.
have VHS tapes of family things.
Yeah, and I suspect it would be much better as a consulting thing. You know, if someone's in the business of transferring VHS to DVD or something, this
oh.
they would buy this to help
yes.
them.
Okay.
And family, it's just expensive enough. I don't think families are going to buy it just for
okay.
one-time conversion of some tapes. You
okay.
know, but anyway, it's just interesting that exists, I guess. But Albert A. still likes VHS better than DVD because they're more reliable. They last longer and stuff. He has problems
what?
Burning.
What?
He always has,
what?
It is true. DVDs, CDs and DVDs don't necessarily last very long.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah,
if you take good care of them. And put
depends
them
on the brand of the blank, though, and stuff like that.
Okay. Are you talking about, like, the fog over problems?
Yeah, but okay, like, I visited Evan Dorbell once,
uh-huh.
and he has hundreds of hours of phone recordings, of all
mm-hmm.
kinds of stuff, of recordings of phone things.
Okay.
That at one point, he converted a lot of them to CDs, to audio CDs.
Okay.
And he listens to them in the car. Instead of listening to the radio or listening to music, he listens to phone trip CDs.
We're interested in a coffee, so you
deserve
it. No. We're good. Thank you.
So he brings these CDs in the car and listens to them, like, background music and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
These are not the ones that are on the website. The ones on the website are ones he's edited and done things with. These are just kind of his raw recordings directly out of the reel-to-reel tape recorder
okay.
at the time. So anyway, so I went to visit him. He had a big stack of them, and he just grabbed some at random to take in the car to show me things. And they were skipping. They were just very bad. And he was
okay.
very upset. Why are they skipping so much? And it turns out they really had gone bad. They were just sitting there in that pile for maybe a year only,
mm-hmm.
and they were already starting to go bad.
Hmm.
You know, as an example. And it turns out in his particular case, we think maybe it's because of light, because he had them stacked up,
right.
not in cases, right next to a window.
Okay.
So light may have done it. But I just hear things about them deteriorating
yeah,
fast. Whereas tapes will last a lot longer than that.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Yeah.
In the sense that light does cause problems.
Yeah.
I've heard that's one of the things that makes mini discs a good option for longer storage. That they're in cases, they're protected.
Oh, right.
In some cases, they're UV. They like the case actually stops light from actually hitting the disc.
No, I think CDs and DVDs, even in cases, they can have problems. Home burned ones can still have problems.
Okay.
And anyway, Albert A. just has a lot of problems burning them in the first place. He just has trouble getting one to burn correctly to be playable even once.
Mm.
And he finds VHS tape is just so much easier to deal with.
Well, it's all analog.
Yeah.
But. Yeah.
Huh. Oh, I have a mystery. Speaking of VHS, I have a mystery that, let's see if anyone could solve it in a comment. Be the first one to solve this mystery. And I'll send you a magazine. I'll send you either a October 1970 issue of Esquire magazine with the famous Phone Freak article in it.
Okay.
Or I'll send you a Time telephone man cover. Time magazine once had an article about the telephone man, the telephone industry. It has a very cool cover of a picture of a person made out of all kinds of switching gear and telephone parts. So the winner of this contest will get one of those magazines of your choice.
Awesome.
So
these are rare things, by the way.
Right? Yeah, they actually are
valuable.
Yeah.
Rare
they actually are. Yeah.
Article magazines.
Right.
Okay.
Marvelina has a friend who videotapes things for her.
Okay.
Just every TV show she wants. Right.
Okay.
He records them on the just normal recording in English.
Uh-huh.
He plays them back to test them. They play back in English.
Okay.
Okay. When Marvelina gets them, they all play in Spanish. So I figured this out. I figured out mainly. There's still one mystery, what he's doing at his end. But I now understand exactly how this happens and what's going on.
How's he recording it? Can I ask any questions?
I don't know. Just off a cable or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, all right. Right.
But,
okay, because that's important.
Anyway, but he plays them back.
And they play
and they're
English.
In English. She plays them back. They play in Spanish.
Okay.
And this is all true. It really is true.
Fortunately,
she
can speak Spanish.
Yes, so she doesn't care that much, but she does care, yeah. Okay, so anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So figure out that mystery, because I now know the answer, kind of. At least I know 3/4 of the answer. I need to go to his place to see the rest of it, to figure out the rest of it.
Okay.
But anyway, so if anyone's really good at VHS and how they work, they should be able to figure this out.
This is VHS.
But, yeah, VHS tape.
He's recording VHS
tape. Yes.
And the signal that's being recorded is on VHS.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. But anyway,
yeah,
okay. So leave a comment if anyone knows. First person to leave a comment with the correct answer, as I now know it, and I do understand it enough to know whether you're right or not, we'll get one of these prizes.
Nice. So. Is it an obvious solution? Or
if you know a lot about VHS, kind of,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I kind of thought of it as a theory very early on, and just verified the theory later. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. But anyway,
I have a theory, but I don't know.
Yeah. If it's, okay. There was a website. You know, that reminds me. I wonder if it's. I wonder if modern-day browsers would still do this, or if I could find it. I used to know this picture on a website that based on whether you used Internet Explorer or whether you used Netscape, before Netscape, Mozilla, what was the one before Netscape?
Yeah, Mozilla.
Mozilla. Yeah, based on whether you used Mozilla or Internet Explorer, and this was like 10 years ago when Mozilla was first coming out or something,
okay.
You'd get totally different pictures.
Nice.
But it was not based on JavaScript, not based on anything like that. You look at the source code all you want, and the source code was just very simple of just show this picture and some text around it to explain the mystery. There's nothing at all in there, and yet it would show different pictures on these two different browsers.
Okay.
I have no idea. If I could find that picture again, it'd be interesting to see if that still happens, if the different browsers still show it differently. Maybe I'll try to find
it. Yeah,
because
in JavaScript, you could definitely do that.
No, it's nothing like that, though. It's just something you do, because the source code just shows bringing up this one picture. That's all there is to it.
Interesting.
Yeah, anyway.
Cool.
With a dimension, actually, I will throw in one other thing. It brings up this picture with dimensions. With the tag shows the dimensions to show the picture.
Okay.
That's actually important.
Okay.
That's actually critical.
Okay.
That's critical, actually.
One looks at them, one ignores them.
No.
Yes. No?
No. Because you get totally different pictures. You don't get...
Well, yeah.
You don't get pictures interleaved or anything. You just get two totally different pictures. So, I'll tell
well,
you.
There's two images there being called in the HTML. And
right.
One has size information. And
No. There's only one set of HTML that brings up one and only one picture.
Oh, one picture.
Nothing conditional whatsoever.
Okay.
Just brings up one picture.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but the only thing interesting about the HTML... Instead of letting the picture size itself,
yes.
It does have dimension tags for the picture. That's the only thing interesting.
So then you're seeing a part of the image in one browser, and you're seeing the whole image in another?
No.
I give up.
Okay, because it's vertical stripes. It's kind of just like the 3D images. The 3D images with those vertical lens strips. It's a picture that has a stripe of one, stripe of another, stripe of one, stripe of the other. But each stripe is just one pixel wide.
Okay.
It has one vertical stripe and one a pixel wide. Then if you look at the real picture,
yes,
it's twice as wide as it shows on the screen.
Okay.
And you see both pictures kind of overlaid on top of each other. Okay.
So when you use the tags
to make it reduce
browser,
it,
the browser did
one browser
it by removing
throws
it.
Away the even sets of vertical lines, and the other browser. Throws away the odd set of
that's
vertical
so
lines,
funny.
So you end up with totally different pictures.
Who ever thought of that? That's crazy.
I don't know. I just
that's
saw
awesome.
That. Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, maybe I could find that again. I doubt it. It'd be interesting to see. I say what it looks like nowadays.
So
I did find that thing last time. You know, I did find that push button to record the radio show. Yeah, you haven't checked the... I did add a link to that one. I did find that
As
an example of obscure things one can find if one looks enough.
I didn't see that.
I even found the name of it. No, I forgot now, but I even found the name of it.
I found the Philco thing, but I also duplicated that link.
Yeah, actually, I fixed that.
Okay, cool.
And I put the correct link to the thing.
Okay.
And I swapped one of your links. Your link...
Yeah, better information.
Yeah, your link to the GPS watch.
Yes.
I switched to a different article, and it goes into a lot more detail about it.
Cool.
Good.
Okay.
Are we out of time? Should I keep looking? Oh, that one goes to the other one. I'm going to do that one because that one goes to the other one. And that one's boring. And I did that one.
Okay, we're done. So we're done.
Yeah.
So what's your plan next week? What are you doing next week?
I don't know. I'll pull out some of these old items.
Okay.
And then I'm always looking, always reading all kinds of stuff. And,
okay.
And
I'm going to be going back into the real workforce.
Work.
Oh.
Yeah.
I may start working on a nonprofit job on Saturdays initially.
Okay.
So Saturdays I'll be doing some teaching.
Okay.
Which will be fun.
Yeah.
I'll enjoy that.
Okay.
But outside of that.
Force your students to listen to our podcast and give them an exam.
Absolutely.
Give them an exam on it.
Oh, yeah. Who's Mark Rene?
I know. Yeah. How many seconds into the podcast did Mark Rene say the following quote?
In which episode did Mark burp?
Yes, that's right. And on which tape on the Phone Trips website does Al Rene say, Mark Rene threw hit? There is an episode on it. And as a clue, the titles of the episodes that
you
have Al Rene in them say Al Rene and Mark Rene and so-and-so. So there aren't that many.
Okay.
So you can find them.
Okay. Nice. I remember you pointed that out to me.
Yeah.
And I understand the story behind it, but I'm not going
to say that. Well, the next sentence. Just listen to the next sentence that explains it.
Okay. Okay. Well, thanks everybody for listening. And
thank you.
We'll see you guys tomorrow, or not tomorrow, but next week.
Yeah. Okay.